Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live, Discovery Paranormal, and The Daily Update with Michael Angley. For the best news and commentary, tune in to Michael Angley Live every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. For the best paranormal talk in town, tune in to Discovery Paranormal every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And check out UPRN, United Public Radio Network, every day for The Daily Update with Michael Angley. All on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m. See you Thursday, Jeff. Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio. You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Montaldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover. Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live 365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show. A very powerful happening.
Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
If I go crazy, then you need to call me Superman. If I'm alive and well, will you be there? Holding my hand, I'll keep you by my side with my sympathy.
live on the air. It is Tuesday, October 11th, 2016. United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans. We're going to talk about the paranormal. We're going to talk about ghosts. We're going to talk about Halloween. We're going to talk about the fact that, see, I read this article about these psychologists who are basically putting down anybody who's ever seen a ghost, anyone who's ever experienced anything like that. I mean, pictures, whatever. I don't know. It depends on who you are and what you do, I guess, in this world and what you believe in. You know, I happen to know people who are directly touched by ghosts in one way or the other, you know, including myself. And I wouldn't be in this field of paranormal investigation, and it's an admitted curiosity, you know, but I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't real. I wouldn't waste my time. I'd be, you know, doing something else. I'd be sitting at the bar watching people drink. I'd be walking the streets, you know, whatever, whatever the hell people do at that time in the middle of the night, because I am a nighttime person. It's attractive to me. You know, yeah, I like stomping around these buildings in the middle of the night. You know, I like the thrill of it. I like the energy. It's a thrill-seeking type of thing. You know, it's not just walking around some empty building. I mean, when you really have this activity, it's a whole bunch of different things that happen. It's a whole bunch of different energy. But psychologists are funny people. They pose themselves as scientists, but yet science is a broad term. You know, science and paranormal is science. Paranormal actually means something that you can't use scientifically. Like, you can't use any science to describe it or explain it. But we have recordings. We have pictures. We have all kinds of stuff. I'm going to show you pictures of people in the room that weren't there. That room was empty. But yet we have pictures of people in the room. How do you describe that? Did the camera all of a sudden invent it? See, these simple, stupid cameras that we use, you know? I mean, we use very basic equipment, you know, good equipment, but basic. We use hunting cameras and things like that. We use, you know, the camera that I shoot with is a full spectrum camera. Shows all spectrums of light because I don't like trimming anything when it comes on the actual shooting and using that camera. But the reality is I wouldn't be doing any of this if I didn't think that there was something to it, right? So the psychologists decided to come out with lists of negative health effects that have been associated with people who believe in paranormal activities and positive mental health benefits. And then they kind of pose it as, well, you know, here's the positive side of it, but here's the negative side of it. But yet, with all of it, they're saying that people like me and anybody that's ever seen a ghost, anybody who believes in ghosts, anyone who's ever been touched in any way, and I know people that have that daily go through a haunting daily that had it affect them where it affected them physically, mentally, everything, you know. They were crazy. They were crazy people. You can see crazy. You go into a situation like that, you know, these people are having real experiences, and they're anybody. We've investigated doctors, lawyers, police, whatever. You know what? They're just people. People who are having an experience. You know, and you can't discount that. And then for these psychologists to come forward and say that, well, you know, these are the reasons why. And, you know, all right, I'll get into it. Okay, here's one. Negative health effects in believing in paranormal activity. It generally arouses curiosity that leads to obsession with ghosts. Now, I know a lot of ghost hunters. And they look at it like that's their, you know, I mean, most of them don't make any money from it, of course. And then we don't charge for investigations. And like I said, it's more, ghost hunters are more thrill seekers. And then they wouldn't be doing it unless there was some kind of thrill attached to it, you know. And then maybe some people have a thrill of just walking around an empty building in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. But, I mean, to me, if there's nothing there, it's a waste of time, right? But arouses the curiosity that leads to an obsession with ghosts, you know. This is a negative effect of believing in ghosts. And which, you know what, all these things are just put-downs, but I'll continue. It increases nightmares, leading to paranoia. Now, when I talk to people in my daily life and people express dreams to me and that type of thing, I hardly ever hear about nightmares having to do with ghosts. Normally, it's real, their everyday life, their job, you know, Hillary Clinton, people, whatever, you know? If you have Hillary or Trump in your dreams, then you're having a nightmare, right? Really. So I've never met any groups of people, and I've met lots of people through this over the past several years I've been doing this. I never met people that said, hey, I have these nightmares every night about ghosts, and it's driving me crazy, you know, I'm obsessed, you know. No, most of the people that are dealing with ghosts want them out. They're not obsessed. They're not saying, ooh, I want more to come in. I want more to come in. You know, you might have, you know, one out of every 1,000 people that'll say, yeah, you know, I invite the opportunity. And they're dumbasses. Because these are the entities they don't want around. You know? These are the ones that they don't want coming around, right? So how about this? It affects people's thoughts and emotions and may lead to addictions or habits, even physical feelings. And then there are people I've talked about on previous shows that think that they're having a physical relation with the entity that is in the place that they reside. Whether they are or not, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I'm not there. I could either believe them or not believe them. You know, I don't want to even know the details depending on the situation. You know, this is not something that, I mean, but yet physical feelings for what? If you think it's a loved one, you know, like I have this lady now, right? She contacted me about 2 weeks ago, and she lost her son. He's 20 years old. She listens to the show. She watches my show, American Ghost Hunters. You know, she is trying to communicate with her son. She's trying to talk to her son. She's, like, begging me, asking me, you know, on how she can do this, how she could possibly communicate with him. And it rips at you, you know, because it's not like you can pick up the phone and dial somebody and they'll pick up the phone and, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, how you been? You know, I haven't seen you around in a while type of situation. This is something completely different. They're on another plane of existence. They shifted over. If you believe in dimensional energy or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Just matters that they do have some kind of physical presence from what I've gathered from my investigations, you know. And if I go into investigations with all this equipment, all these cameras and all the stuff that we use, and we get nothing, you know what? We get nothing. Does that mean the place is active? That means not active? That means they just didn't feel like jumping through our hoops that night? You know, it comes down to that. So, but people get contacted. Sometimes people will get contacted around the holidays. You know, my very own house, there was activity going on not that long ago, you know, and it's usually around the holidays or something. And then you can even feel like who's around, you know. Is it your mind guessing? Are you hallucinating? You know, or do you really want it to happen so bad that you make it happen, that physically, you know, you manifest something with your mind anyway, or I don't know. It comes down to the experience, and the real part of it is for the person experiencing it, you know. You can explain everything with science. You can explain spirit world with science, because the further we go with these investigations, the more we know, the more we find out. And they're not like, you know, if you tune into American Ghost Hunters, you're going to see our investigation. We're not like trying to sell something. We're not putting something out there, you know, on mainstream television, mainstream media. They're trying to sell something. They have commercial advertisers. They're trying to sell something. They have to keep those shows rolling in an entertaining fashion. That entertaining fashion could mean anything. So when you see Ghost Adventures and then, you know, years later, the fragmented group, people are breaking off from the group saying, yeah, they fake stuff. Yeah, it's acting. Yeah, it's hoopla. That hurts your average ghost hunter. Your average person going out there to thrill seek or maybe even help people along the way, that person is the one who's not, you're not going to be taken credible, you know? So when you have psychologists. I think it's bad for the psychologist to come out and blanketly dismiss something that two-thirds of America believes in. Two-thirds of America believe in ghosts, in the paranormal. Two-thirds. You don't have that kind of gathering in any other group of Americans. Maybe 85% of Americans don't trust the government. You might have a higher number there. But two-thirds of America believes in ghosts. We have images. We have voices. We have voices that weren't supposed to be there. They're disembodied voices. What is that? Do you think the recorder's messing up right there at that time? And an answer to our questions? Do you actually think that these images we have and pictures, these ghosts, are fake? We photoshopped it. I don't even know how to use Photoshop, you know? And then if it was fake, I could put anybody in there. I could put Abraham Lincoln in there, right? Oh, look, I got a ghost of Abraham Lincoln. Look at him. You know, it's stupid because what people don't believe in is their fear. That's something they should believe in, and that's what shuts their mind down. So I've met a lot of people just, you know, they can't talk about the spirit world. It's a freaking emotional overload for their circuits. They just can't take it. Their head explodes. They fall down. Smoke comes out of their ears. They're done. Yeah? So that's fine. Don't get involved. Don't go thrill-seeking. Don't walk around those empty buildings. Don't do it, you know? But for a group of psychologists, psychiatrists, to even waste their time putting people down, that makes no sense to me. It's really condescending is what it is, you know? How about this? This is a negative health effect that's been associated with believing in paranormal activities. Exposure to toxic mold in the haunted buildings and caves. I haven't been in a cave yet looking for a ghost, but not saying that haunted buildings and caves can have neurological effects, and spores enter the body and release toxins into the bloodstream. Common symptoms include chronic fatigue, hearing and memory loss, and mild symptoms of dementia. There you go. So yeah, you can't hear, you can't see, you got dementia. You got memory loss, can't remember a damn thing, you don't even know what cave, you know? And chronic, you're damn tired with chronic fatigue. This is just name-calling, isn't it? Name-calling of people. They're talking about me. They're talking about people like me, you know? Here's the positive. Now, this is the flip side, the positive mental health benefits, according to psychologists. And notice, it doesn't say psychiatrists. These are psychologists. Way less school, way less everything. You know? Can't prescribe drugs necessarily. Psychologists. Okay, these are the positive mental health effects. Paranormal believers have greater confidence in their decisions, even if they are based on ambiguous information. Again, that's an attack, right? Even if they're based on ambiguous information, you know, you be sure of that decision, even though it's bullcrap. You know what I mean? It can be a shield from the harsher truths of life. So they're saying it's an escape. Believing in ghosts is an escape. Now, I know people went to the hospital because there was an entity holding them down. I just talked about it on the last show. And not just one person, a few people, something holding them down. They felt they were having a heart attack. And then this happened to the next family who moved into that house 7 months later, who didn't even know the first family. And then the neighbors tell us that nobody stayed in the house longer than a year. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, people leave you in the middle of the night, which is what the first family did. So you tell me that how that is an escape for that person to have those attacks, to go to the emergency room and have them look at her like she's an idiot, that nothing wrong with her, no panic attack, even nothing. but it happened 2 times to her in the same room, you know? I know other people it happened to where they actually saw the person. I know another girl who has been assaulted, sexually assaulted by an entity who had followed her from place to place. She believed it. It happened to her. She had the marks on her. She had fingerprints, finger marks on her inner thighs. She had finger marks on her neck. They weren't hers. So these psychologists don't understand things like that. But for them to say, okay, this is a make-believe world, so you can escape to a nicer place. Granted, real life is hard. It's a crap sandwich most of the time. You just have to grow to liking it or be that person that stands up against it. But there's a huge paranormal world out there. And this is what makes me mad, because I'm not going to just say this like it's bragging or something, but the people who are ghost hunters out there, the people who are into this, are usually very loving, kind, caring people. It's not escapism to them. What it is thrill-seeking. What it is a quest for knowledge. I've met people of all kinds, and that's what it was for me. Yes, thrill-seeking. It's also a quest for knowledge. There are things that I expect and don't expect out of an active investigation now, you know? And then after a while, you know, this is years and years and years of doing this, you get a feel for it. And you go to places, I mean, I go to places that we know are active because so many people have had those experiences. All walks of life, like my friend Mark, who owns the Erie Mansion up in Clyde, New York. And that's a bed and breakfast. Nobody will stay there because the place is so haunted. And it's not haunted like, ooh, I'm going to have a nice experience, you know, this lady's going to come sit with me and have tea. No, the place is haunted by a serial killer, a dude who had killed a lot of females and a child. This guy is not a good guy. And then there was other murders there. So this is a place that, well, you have an experience there. You know what? The guy's own daughter came to visit with a couple of her friends, and they stayed up on it's a 12,000 square foot mansion. They stayed up on the top floor in what we call the servants' quarters, where the servants were. And then, you know, there was 2 servants there. One killed the other one and chopped his head off. So that body was up there. The head was gone. And this is where these girls decided to stay. They left around, I think Mark said 12:30, 12:45 at night. They hadn't been back since. It's the guy's daughter. She will not go to that mansion. She will not meet him there. She will meet him in the next town. She doesn't even like hanging out in that town. She had an experience. Her friends had an experience. They didn't just spook each other out and you know, whatever. No, man. They felt it. They saw it. People grabbed them. Stuff happened to them. That's real. You could be a psychologist. I'll extend an invitation to 10 psychologists out there who are non-believers. I invite you to come with me to that place, the Erie Mansion. We'll reserve a night. We'll go in there, and we'll see. We'll see exactly psychologically how you try to explain when somebody jumps on you or tries to do something terrible to you, especially since the guy, the serial killer, has such a voracious appetite for women. And when women go in there, including the medium that we brought in there, a medium, they got molested. They got grabbed, you know? So is that, do they imagine it? Do they wish it to happen? Is that escapism to a nicer and a better world, you know? No, of course not. They don't want that crap to happen. They ran out of there. They ran out of there. Like, type of thing. So, no, I don't believe it could be a shield from the harsher truths of life. You know, you're not talking about a Winnie the Pooh or something, man. You're talking about, like, poltergeist. And they're coming to get you type of thing. And you can't see them necessarily, and they're going to get you type of thing. Or if you can see them, you don't want to see them type of thing. You know? It helps in the life coping mechanism by giving hope where there is none. When one is going through the grieving process of losing someone, peace is achieved by knowing that one never really loses the ones they love. And you know what's funny? that's interesting to say, because like I said, I'm dealing with someone now who is like, you know, what's the best equipment that I can get to talk to my son, and what can I do? And I'm trying to explain to her about there's variables involved, you know what I mean? And there's, it's not an exact science where they're going to come through when you want them to come through, you know? And when people pass away, sometimes you experience them right away, boom, and then they're gone. And they come back months later, you know? I mean, I've talked to all types of mediums that basically all of them have a lot of similar conclusions, you know? And that's what I like, just talking to people that are all kind of on the same page. Because, you know, and then it feels right from what they're saying that, like, they have a job to do when they pass over, and they go and do what they got to do, and they come back and visit. I know a lot of people get visited. They get visited around birthdays, around holidays, you know, any kind of an occasion that stands out. You know, I know someone the other day that they kept seeing their rocking chair move in their house, and there was just a feeling there that somebody was around. And then they were having this heated conversation in the middle of the night, and then a bathroom door got pushed open with force and hit the wall, like, boom. Nothing, you know, there was nothing there to do that. It wasn't air movement. There wasn't anything like that. And then the clock fell off the wall at a certain time at night. So do you think those are coincidences? Do you think that doors just bounce open for no reason? Do you think that a clock held up by a heavy screw is just going to fall for no reason? You know? Yeah, anything could happen, I suppose. The door, I don't know about, but, you know, a clock falling off the wall, it depends, right? But basically what I felt in my gut was like it was some kind of visitation, maybe a little bit even angry, like a relative or something that is not jiving with the situation. And I said, was there an anniversary? There was and that's what just got me, like, it was an anniversary. Like, there's something, it's not there all the time type of stuff, you know. And then, and a lot of times you can say that to a person, and then, you know, immediately they can't think of it. You know, as a private investigator, if I'm asking people questions, there's a lot of things that they don't have total recall. You know, they'll have a short-term memory. Not the people who believe in ghosts, the people who are just people, right? You know, or they'll panic on the spot thinking that they're going to be in trouble, or they don't want to say the wrong thing. So you got to give them time. You got to give them time to think and kind of loosen them up and whatever. So, and days later, this person said, oh, my God, it was an anniversary. It was a wedding anniversary and blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, it's just kind of common sense, you know. But as for the lady who wants to talk to her son, it kills you because you want to help them, man. It kills you because you want to say, okay, here, we can just come and do this. And she didn't even want an investigation. I said, you know, if you want to try it, I'll bring the team down. Or the medium come in and just chill out for the night and see what we get, see what happens, you know. And then that's really how you have to do it. And I feel like when we do these things, we build a bridge. I feel like we have a bridge, and that's just the best, easiest, most simplest way I can describe it's a bridge. And then once we achieve that, that's when things happen. And it's usually when things get light, you know, like we're laughing and joking around, you know. We've even gotten criticized online, like, you know, how can you guys laugh? It's a paranormal investigation. You're supposed to be serious. Oh, it's disrespect to the dead. And my response is like, really, you idiot? Is that what you think? Disrespect to the dead? You know, it's like they have no sense of humor anymore. Oh, sorry, you're dead. You have no sense of humor anymore. And we're not laughing at them. We're not saying, you know, they're laughing the way they, from their demise and whatever. We're just laughing with each other about anything, you know. And that's kind of the way it goes. And it's like they want to be in on the conversation. I think that's why we get the evidence. I think that's why they come forward to us. I think they come forward to us because we're actually likable. We're not in there all, you know, all heavy, you know, acting just really. You know, who wants to be down like that? Who wants to be down, 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 you know? I mean, like, the whole point of the show, American Ghost Hunters, I always tell people the same thing. The point of the show is not death, it's life. It's living your life. And these people who have passed over either have an issue and they're hanging around, or they're coming back to visit, or sometimes it's just residual. They're just there because they're there, because they did the same thing every day, every day, every day, and they're imprinted in time. They're just there, you know? But when someone comes to you with something so personal, like, wow, my son's dead, how can I talk to him? I'm dying to talk to him. I want to reach out to him, you know? And then I could say, oh, yeah, you know, you can buy this piece of equipment and that piece of equipment and try this. And I did. And she was getting frustrated because it wasn't really working. And it's like sometimes also, this is another thing about grieving that I've talked to a lot of mediums about this, that when people grieve too much, when they hold on too much, and that spirit knows it, you're actually keeping them behind, keeping them from doing something that they should be doing, you know? So there's that too. And it's very hard to tell people. I have a friend now who, I mean, the dude passed away months ago. His, you know, his wife cries every day. You know what I mean? And it's like, how do you tell someone, say, hey, you got to let go. To make them happy, to make yourself happy, you got to let go. And it is a time and a place to say something like that. Losing someone, it's heavy. You know, it's going to be heavy. It's not, no one's ever happy about it. You know what I mean? You're happy about losing someone you love. Nobody's ever happy. Whether it happens in this life or whether they pass over. You know, sometimes you're in a relationship, you really love someone, and you lose them. You're still alive, but you lost them. You have to suffer through that loss. So, but then grieving, when that person's gone altogether, you have to suffer through the void of what they were and their function in your life, you know? And that, when someone harps on it and thinks about it every day, that's the tough part. But, you know, when you talk to someone and they're crying because they want to talk to their son, you can point them to the equipment, you can say, do this, do that, try this, try that. It's bullcrap. Because they want them back. They want them there. It's not even about, hey, are you okay? Well, he's dead. He's moved on. He's at the next level, you know? I mean, it's a very, very difficult thing to deal with. You know, and then when you do stuff like this, because I talk to a lot of people, obviously, that reach out to me that are grieving, you know? And then I used to know this lady all the way up Saskatchewan, amazing woman. She, older lady, she was a nurse, but she comforted people who got in their families. People got in a terrible accident or, you know, or died in some untimely death. And she'd be there comforting them and talking to them and, you know, do that kind of counseling. And I just thought that was so deep and so amazing to be so selfless, because it's heavy, man. And it makes you, you know, these are the things you'll dream about. These are the things you think about. It's just that heaviness. And then you just try to help people because they're looking for answers. You know, is this a psychological condition? Is this woman suffering a psychological condition? You know, she's gone through a huge loss. How about this? Everything is a psychological condition. But I think that the more they name conditions, the more money they make. So now there's a word for it. Now there's a thing for it. Yeah, lots of people are quirky. Lots of people are weird. A lot of people do. I've never seen normal. As a matter of fact, I know some people who are religious, Republican, conservative, right. They're not normal to me. They have quirky stuff. They do quirky stuff. All the people that you would think would be so-called normal, and I never call them my religious normal, but all the people that you think they're so-called normal, everyone has got some kind of thing that they do or they like to do or some weirdness about them. That's what makes us all beautiful, man. You know? Sometimes it's a little too weird. That ain't cool. But let's get back to this horrible list put together by psychologists on how what losers we are as ghost hunters and people who believe or have seen. Well, losers, two-thirds of America is. That's like calling people deplorable. Why we have these conditions that we're so freaked out. Having the knowledge that one goes on to heaven after dying sometimes gives enough people to make positive changes in their lives. You want to bring about the change now. You're just not going to die and go into a hole in the ground. Various superstitions can boost your performance in a range of skills. For me, it's sexual. You know what I mean? that ghost hunting type of stamina, you know? Ridiculous. For example, bringing their favorite lucky charm into a memory test significantly improves subjects' recall, since it seemed to increase their confidence in their own abilities. Well, yeah, because the human brain is an amazing thing. And that amazing thing basically forms us and what we got, you know? But the reality is, what that list fails on is that these people are not imagining things. These people are straight up having an experience. And I have a head for bullcrap, you know? Honestly, I have a head for bullcrap. If I'm talking to someone who's lying to me, I feel it, man. You know? I feel it. And then I've been like that since I was a kid. I have a built-in lie detector. So if you're bullcrapping me, I'm going to know it. I'm going to feel it. And I don't give people discounts. I go, well, you know, maybe they're telling the truth. No, because when I did that in the past, I was wrong. I was smart to go with my initial feeling, and you don't fight that feeling, you know, because that's your instincts. That's what the gift of God. So when these people tell me they're having these experiences, yeah, every once in a while you run into somebody who's like, well, you know, I saw this in my house and whatever and whatever, and you know they just want the attention or they're full of it. And there are people that we deal with, I won't mention any names, but there are people that we deal with that invite this negativity in, and then they're all freaked out about the negativity. They're all like, oh my God, I don't want this, and these creatures are running around, and they're coming to get me, and whatever. And you say to yourself, come on, man. Is this guy freaking nuts? Like, really? Am I just wasting my time with somebody who's freaking nuts? But it turns out it's the same person that we got the best evidence from ever, picture and video. You know? So you have to believe a situation like that because you know what you've got. You have to believe a situation like that because this is what you've dealt with in the past. But when people, especially if they have, they're sensitive, they're empaths, they have any kind of ability, when those people are reaching out to that dark world, and to them, for whatever reason, it's alluring. For whatever reason, whatever they put into it, I don't know, man. I think that a lot of people put sexual stuff on the spirit world. A lot of people desire that. There's a lot of people that try to get into that frame of mind. I never needed anything to enhance my sexuality or sexualness or my sexual aptitude. So I don't need to reach out. You know what I mean? In fact, I got plenty or too much, you know? And it's really like there are people who are very lonely, I think, who just, they need it. They take that Ouija board or whatever they're using. But then when that negative stuff starts happening, they start having these conversations. They start doing these weird things. Things that affect their daily life. Those are the people who aren't sleeping at night. You know, and I'll tell you this, man. Half of my brain thinks people are full of crap. The other half of my brain thinks there's some kind of plausible thing going on. So 50-50, go into a situation. It could be bull crap or it could be real. You know, and it's your job to investigate to find out if it's real. When people are being terrorized, I have whole families that have been terrorized, little kids who wouldn't go in their room anymore. They're not having a mutual hallucination. It's not dictated by the parents and what these kids should think. They're all having separate experiences. Some of them don't even share their experiences for months and months and months. I did that with my mom, you know, when I had a paranormal experience when I was young. And then we didn't talk about it. She was having similar experiences. We both didn't know. But we didn't talk about it for 6 or 7 months and it just kind of came up like, hey, I saw this shadow figure and, oh, I saw it too. And, you know, you start comparing notes. Because part of your mind wants to just dismiss it. There's something that you saw, something in your eyeball, a problem, right? But when they invite it in and they're doing rituals, And I know Wiccans. I know people who do like into magic, but they're into good stuff, you know. And I've known people that are into bad stuff too. And I'll tell you, bad stuff follows them. They're vibrating on a very low level. Why is that appealing? You know, why do you think that heaviness? I mean, I don't get it. You know, like what's alluring? Because the whole spectrum, all of it together, is what we call nature, you know what I mean? All of it. And there's good parts of it. There's negative parts of it. Sometimes negative things can be good. Sometimes good things can be negative. You know, there's a duality that goes on. So in martial arts, we say yin and yang, right? For yang's the force you move with, yin's the force that allows you to move. One doesn't exist without the other, you know? So when you start going back into time and back into history and look at people for what they are, even with people's superstitions, don't walk under a ladder and whatever, all that stuff comes from somewhere. That's a superstition. That's like, you know, all right, if I do this, something bad's going to happen to me. But the people I'm talking about right now are actually experiencing things every day. And then, like I said, every once in a while, you're running someone full of it. But these people are for real. They're looking at me in the eye, and they're explaining themselves. And I've met people who actually believed, pathological liars. People believe their own bullcrap. They believe in it. I knew someone that has a kid, you know, he was a teenager, who actually thought he was flying drone missions for the military on his computer, you know? And he thought that was the most important job in the world. And this guy's 14 years old. Obviously, there's an issue there, you know? And then it's a fantasy land that they exist in. Yeah, I believe that people have that kind of escapism and that kind of fantasy. But to say that people who are ghost hunters are having these experiences in their homes, stuff disappearing, stuff moving around, doors opening and closing, you know, knocks, bangs, all that. Those people are having experiences, and they don't want it. They don't even want the attention. They don't want even ghost hunters to show up to their house because it just goes against their grain, you know? And, yeah, you know, sometimes people are psyched. It's like they get excited when we show up because they want the information, and then they know that we know what we're doing. We have enough track record stuff out there to say, okay, and I'm not an expert. Nobody is. Nobody is. When someone says that they're an expert ghost hunter, I just look at them like, really? What college do you go into? What degree did you get in ghost hunting? I mean, yeah, you could do 1,000 ghost hunts. You'll never be an expert because it's all different all the time. You might know why something happens, or you might have some kind of supposition why something happens, some kind of theory of why something happens. But the experience can change from one day to the next, you know, and I have some good explanations, but can I prove it? Can I write it down? Can I show you that, oh yeah, we can flip this dimension and go to another dimension and that type of thing, or energy doesn't die, it just transforms to one thing to another, whatever, you know, and it comes down to experience. So expert, I would say seasoned. I'd say I'm a seasoned paranormal investigator, and I've met people that have been doing it for 40, 50 years, more than that. It was a calling to them, and they still do it. You think they're going to waste their time for 40 or 50 years? You think it's just their pastime, and they're just doing it to kill some time? No. I have a good friend who was a sheriff for over 30 years in Florida. He's a medium. He's a ghost hunter. He hunts ghosts. He goes out there, tries to help people. He goes into situations as a medium, tries to help people deal with what's going on. So that's basically it. You want to help people. These psychologists saying that it's in your mind, it's your imagination, that's wrong to say, and it's wrong to do. It's unprofessional. Because, one, if you're a psychologist, you're not there to judge people. You're there to help people. You're not even there to say, what if? Because you're dealing with an unknown variable, because you're not putting a face or a name on anybody. You're making a blanket statement about a bunch of people, about millions of people, about tens of millions of people. Two-thirds of the U.S., that's over 100 million people. No, over 200 million people, right? 330 million people in the U.S. So you're talking about over 200 million people who believe in ghosts. And that's just the United States. That's not including all these other countries and United Kingdom and whatever. You go into Australia, a lot of ghost-believing people in Australia. I have friends in Australia who are in ghost-hunting groups. There's a huge audience in Australia and the United Kingdom and South America, all around. Africa, you know what I mean? China. They're anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's the individual person and what they experience. And most people have a ghost story, or most people have a story that they can share that's an unexplained type of thing. This happened, or they got visited. When I do American Ghost Hunters and we go into a situation, the very first question I ask them, including when I have a guest on the show here, the very first question I ask them is, what's your first paranormal experience? And I love hearing it, because it's usually such an innocent response of something when they're a kid, when they're young, sometimes a teenager and that type of thing. It's just amazing, you know? And then these situations that stand out in people's minds, they carry their entire lives. I have stories I can tell you that things I experienced when I was a kid that I remember like it was a minute ago, you know? Why is it like that? I don't remember other dreams. I don't remember other stuff, you know, all these. So obviously, I'll give you, I only have a few more minutes, but I'll give you for an example, right? My uncles, I have three great uncles, my grandmother's brothers, right? They're all scientists, Uncle Ted, Uncle Henry, Uncle Stevie, right? And amazing people. Stevie, I didn't meet. He died before I was born. Uncle Henry, I knew all my life. And then Ted died when I was probably about 14, 15. So I had a dream. This is when I was around 8 years old. That, all right, so I'm awake in my bed. It wasn't a dream, even. I shouldn't even say dream. All right, this is what happened. I was awake in my bed. The hallway light was on. My door was closed. I had my eyes closed, but I was still awake. And I just couldn't sleep. I had a ton of energy that night. So, 8 years old, mind you. I'm in bed. Now, the door didn't open, but I heard someone walk over to me. I heard footsteps on the floor, walk over, hardwood floor, but it creaked. You know, it was all the house. And someone kneeled down on my bed, and the bed went down. You know, it was a twin bed. The side of the bed went down like a large person kneeled on it. And then a male voice says to me, "Don't worry, Michael. Everything is going to be okay." It kisses me on the forehead. Now, the Uncle Henry dream, a few days after that, I have a dream. And then I'm on Mars, under the surface, right? And then there's these labs in there, you know, and I'm walking with my Uncle Henry. And then there's a room that we're in with all these exotic animals, like saber-toothed tigers and woolly mammoths, animals that have been extinct, are long gone. And then the floor is like, it looked like squares, like Lucite plastic, you know, clear, but there are squares. And then under the squares, there was water running under the floor, and there was light coming from under the floor. And then he said to me that we're really from Mars, and we had to go to Earth because we couldn't stay here anymore. That's crazy. 8 years old. For those two experiences, you know, and it's just, and Uncle Henry was an amazing guy, amazing scientist, you know, amazing brain, really, you know, they did work for the military, all this other stuff, and they had their own research and development company, you know, which is still in existence today. So, but to have that dream and have it, here I am, 50 years old, you know, 42 years later, and I'm talking about this to the world right now on UPRN. I'm sharing an experience I had when I was 8 years old. And I can see it when I talk about it. I can see it in my mind. I can see him. I can see the floor. I can see the place. I can see the animals. So what is that? Is that just a slice that's jammed in my brain? that's going to be there forever? Or was it a real experience, like a lucid dream, something that only happens when, like, sometimes when you fall asleep before you wake up? And you can try to explain all you want through science. You can try to explain all kinds of stuff. Yeah, sure. You know, maybe I am crazy. Sure, fine, whatever. But I know what I experienced. So within that craziness, I guess we're all crazy because we all have some kind of experience. And I've talked to people with intense experiences like that, being visited like that, where they somebody was in their room and spoke to them. You know, amazing. So the people that we like to help are the people who can't sleep at night, who are struggling. They're not looking for some escapism. They're looking to live in their home without having to move. Sometimes things follow you, you know. So here we are. It's the Halloween season, all right? Halloween, a few weeks. And people are already saying, hey, what's a good place? What's a good haunted house we can go to and check out? And, yeah, there's things like Bark's Mansion up there in Clyde. You know, it's a bed and breakfast. It's a beautiful mansion. It's got suites, the whole bit. You're not going to sleep at all, but, you know. But we tend to tell people, especially if you're not, I don't know, it's a hard game, man. The money game in the haunted world, it's a hard game. And I think that, like, look at the place, there's a place called Rolling Hills, where, you know, I haven't gone there. I refuse to go there. I don't like the woman that owns it. I think she's nasty. You know, just a mean ass, and I don't need to deal with it. You know, just nasty to people, and then they just have such crazy rules of the stuff that they do, and they're just trying to make money off of these entities that are stuck there. You know what I mean? We cross people over. When I told her that, she's like, stay away from my place. My ghosts are happy where they are. Stay away, you know? And I'm like, well, come there anyway. Cross them over. These are the kind of conversations that I have. So it's the money game? It's not a good game. You know what I mean? And if it's a haunted B&B and you want to go at your own risk, you want to stay in a place like that, just don't bring anything home. And if you do, you end up calling someone like me. And we're going to come in and say, wow, yeah, whatever. You know, you shouldn't have done that. So, but we'll talk more about this next week, more about Halloween, and I'll have a guest on, and we can get into, I've got a guy experiencing a bunch of stuff. I wanted to come on and talk about it because we're going to go into his place and do an investigation. You can go to YouTube.com/Discovery Paranormal and watch our American Ghost Hunter shows and other stuff that we've got. But as for me, this is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal, United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans. And I will see you guys next week on this year's show. Hmm.
Views and opinions of any of the guests of After Hours AM are not necessarily the views and opinions of After Hours AM, its hosts, its staff, or any of its affiliates. Opinions of any of the guests of After Hours AM are not necessarily